Okay, start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. We can gather together, study your word, and worship, and be with family. We want to thank you for all the fathers here celebrating Father's Day. Just pray that you will bless all the fathers here, their families, and help us to be reminded that you are our Father. You're an example of love and grace and everlasting patience with us. We, as fathers, exert the same. Thank you for the morning. Open our eyes to your word, Spirit. Pray. Okay. And okay. So everyone knows about Party of the Red Sea. You guys know the story, right? Pretty familiar. And what's been your understanding of the Red Sea? Last time we had this, I didn't have a map, so this time I included the map so that we won't get it messed up. So last week we said this was west, right? That's east, that's north, and that's south. And remember we talked about Abraham, how Moses ran away to Midian, right? And this is where he went. He went here and spent 40 years. So after the encounter with the burning bush, he went back to Egypt to bring the Israelites out. And the Red Sea is actually both, you see, stemming to both. So nobody knows whether it's the Red Sea here or the Red Sea here. And the point is, that God just parted the Red Sea. It's not trying to identify exactly where it is. This map shows that they cross over here. But it could be over here. Some people actually, if you look at some maps and images on Google, they'll show that the trip actually took them here. But for the sake of just understanding what the Red Sea and the miracle was about, let's just focus right here. It's probably the better understanding. Come here, and Moses is leading all the Israelites across the Red Sea. They end up right here. And suddenly they realize that Pharaoh, right, with all its horses and chariots, decide, no, I'm not going to give this up, right? I'm going to go after them and bring them back. So obviously they're going to make up for a lot of time. They meet up with the Israelites right at this focal point. And the Israelites are facing the sea, right? And they're like, okay, we got to stop. And they can't turn back because they see the chariots coming. They see Pharaoh coming. So if you were there, what are you seeing there? What's in your mind? Even if you're a swimmer, what would be your solution? Even if you're a swimmer, what is your solution? What would be your solution? Maybe run up on your own? They got millions of Israelites, right? They're just camped right here. They're stuck. What would you do? What's in your mind, like, naturally? Even if you're not a believer. You're stuck in the ocean. You have people behind you trying to kill you, literally, trying to destroy you. What? You're like,
Run and scatter.
Run and scatter, okay. It's in the desert. It's got no place to run, right? No place to hide. That's a bad idea. But that's an option, right? Yeah, that's one idea. Anything else? What would you do?
Run ropes across the Red Sea and try to pull people across.
Run a rope across the Red Sea?
Yeah, well.
Swimmer to swim across first.
Best swimmer to swim across. They're not swimming across. This is huge, right? This is think of the Santa Monica Ocean, all right? Okay, that's another option. Another bad option. Not to your fault, Scott, but because there's no good options here, right? Any other options? Dig some holes, okay. Yeah. That's probably another bad. So we got three bad options right now. Okay. It's because there's no option. They're in a they came to a place where they literally hit a wall. They got no options. And there is an option. Let's see what they say. You see what the text says, right? When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. That's their option. They got nothing. They're at a place where they can't go forward. They can't go back. They're stuck. And they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone." Remember, they didn't want to come now. "Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. It's better for us to be slaves than to be stuck in the middle of the desert, nowhere to go. Before us, an ocean. Behind us, the army. Now you've angered them. You angered Pharaoh. Now we're going to he's either going to kill us or make us work even harder, right? Or it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Here's what Moses says. Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. The Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be silent or standing still or be quiet or not do anything." Okay? So this, we love this verse, right? And something that we're going to learn today, that this verse may not appear to be what it is. We're like, hey, just stand still and trust in the Lord, and everything's going to be okay. This is true. Sounds very biblical. But we're going to look at it. We're going to look at it a little bit more, okay? Then the Lord says, so he just said this, "Hey guys, stand still, trust in the Lord. The Egyptians you see, you shall see them no more. So be silent and trust in the Lord." And right after that, this is funny. I think it's funny. The Lord says to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" So the Egyptians are crying out to the Lord. And Moses says, "Hey, look at me, calm down, okay? Trust in the Lord." And the Lord says to Moses, "Why are you crying to me? You guys see what's going on? No? You have a leader. Says, hey, don't worry. It's okay. Because the Lord is your salvation today. Don't worry. And then God says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? So he's telling people, calm down. And he's crying out to the Lord. And the Lord says, why are you crying to me? That's why I asked the question. Why was Moses, and this is going to, you know, open up some stuff. Why was Moses crying out to the Lord? He says, fear not. He says all the right things. Fear not, stand firm. Right? The Lord will fight for you.
I mean, first of all, when I read this, I actually think 15 is in reference to 10. Dramatically, like when I
process yeah, it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It just sounds like, you know, people of Israel crying out to God, and they don't hear anything. So they're complaining to Moses.
Yeah.
Stop. And then, like, then it says God's answer, like, hey. So I first read it, it doesn't sound like it's specifically to Moses right now.
Yeah.
But if we're gonna go with that interpretation of it,
okay,
or that, you know, that reading of it,
yeah,
then I think probably just because he was great, you know, like he put up a strong front as a leader, because he knows the right things to say, like, he knows, like, what he's supposed to say,
okay.
And then on the side, he's like, but God really helped me. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, that's kind of how I read it. And to your point, there are other interpretations where they link Israel to Moses, right? But right here, the Lord is specifically talking to Moses. And Moses needs to lift up your staff, right? He's telling him to do that. So, what do you think Moses was crying out to the Lord? If he says, the Lord will fight for you, you have only to be silent, be quiet, stand still. That's what the word means.
I'm going to take a quick stab. So, in verse 13, it's saying, fear not. Usually, fear. Well, people say don't be afraid, you're usually afraid, you know.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, very human. Yes.
They are human. I mean, yeah. There is a, you know, great army right behind them.
Yes.
So fear not, meaning that they are, Moses is scared and standing firm. It goes back to, you know, we have like two to three reactions. You fight, you flight, or
yeah.
You freeze. And I
yeah.
think they're at a place of like, okay, there is nothing in front of them. We don't know anymore. So standing firm sounds like the right thing to do. I mean, standing firm sounds like the right word to say, as if you have great faith. But
right.
I, you know, God obviously knows the fear inside each one, especially Moses. And for him to say, for God to say, go forward in verse 15 is exactly the opposite of what they were doing. They were standing firm, meaning like not moving, but God said instead to move forward,
right,
in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you guys see that? Right? What he says is directly in contradiction to what God is saying. But this sounds so, so Christian. This sounds so right, right? Stand firm. Trust the Lord. Yes, trust the Lord and stand firm. And then God say, why are you crying out to me? I almost think in this case, Moses was saying, thinking, hey, just stand firm. God's going to perform a miracle. I think he believed that. But it was going to be a miracle where it just happens, right? Where sometimes we just need a miracle. Do you guys remember, we didn't study this last week, but When Moses saw the burning bush, afterwards he had a long conversation with God, and he said to God, "I cannot speak. I stutter, and I'm a person without a an ability to speak. And not that, and I couldn't speak before I met you, and even now after I met you, I couldn't speak. He was telling God that, look, I never was able to speak well. Even after I met you, this burning bush experience, you didn't perform a miracle to make me speak better. So I still couldn't speak. Moses was kind of expecting God to like just do it for him. So if you want me to lead, I should be a great speaker because that's the job that you asked me to do. And now that you called me and I met you, you still haven't given me the ability to. And when I read that text and I see here, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I expect God, I would say me, maybe you guys feel the same, but I expect God, if you're going to ask me to do it, you should perform the miracle. I trust you. Do the miracle. Do it for me so that, do it for you, right? Do it for your mission. And sometimes it doesn't happen. And God says, you'll lead the Israelites out, even with your inability to speak well or eloquently. I'll use another way. And in fact, the Bible never said that Moses was cured of his speech. And I kind of sense the parallel here when Moses like, hey, just be silent. God's going to just do it. Just be still. And that's why he's crying out in his heart. I don't know whether it's in his heart or laughing loudly to God. It's like, I just talked to the people. God, I don't know. Please help me. Please do something. Do what you can do. And then the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to go forward. Don't stand still. Tell the people to go forward.
Yeah, it sounds like he's saying, like, for the Egyptians who you see today, you shall never see again.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's saying, like, you know, just stand here. God's just going to wipe them out.
Yeah, wipe them out. You remember, they had the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire with them, right? Yeah, right.
And it's like, funny because in that sense, it still is trusting that God will do something.
Of course.
But then,
yeah.
God's response is, like, you actually have to, like, take action, too.
Right.
Like, you got to stretch your hand out and, like,
right.
Do it. And then you got to go.
So, isn't that interesting? I never seen this before. I think Moses was saying, yes, he trusts God. God's going to do a miracle. But he was thinking God's going to wipe him out, right?
And he still does. It's just
he still does. But not what he imagined. God had another way. So, we always trust God as believers, but we have our own way. We think God's gonna do this. God's like, what are you talking about? I want you to move forward. What? Wouldn't it be easier if you just wipe the Israelites clean? Yeah, I mean, the Egyptians clean, I just like wipe them out. It only makes sense, right? It only makes sense. The pillar of fire just consumes them. It only makes sense.
Like, aren't they following the pillar of fire? Actually, is it not yet?
The fire is there already.
Okay.
Yeah, the fire is behind them.
Oh, so just
that's what kept them at bay, right? Yeah, the fire is behind them. So naturally, that's logically, that's what would happen. The pillar, they're here. The pillar of fire is here. And, you know, the Egyptians are like right here somewhere, right? So it's in between them. Right, it's in between them to give them time. So Moses, like, God, just you won't see them anymore because obviously God's going to do this. But obviously God did not. He chose another path. It says, go forward.
So could you interpret verse 15 and saying, like, why aren't you like why aren't you moving, or like why did you stop, or like,
yeah? Yeah, he says, why are you crying out to me? This is one of you. Again, there are many times where, you know, in the Bible that people cry out to the Lord, and the Lord receives that. Of course, we do cry out to the Lord. But in this case, the Lord was telling Moses, why are you crying out to me? This is not the time to cry out to me. This is the time to go forward. Lift up your hand, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the land. Go through the sea on dry ground. Don't cry out to me. There's a time where you pray and cry out to me. This is not the time. Go forward. Part the sea so the people can go. Part the sea. Moses says, okay.
That it's implying that God expected Moses just to do something, like as if Moses has the power already. He's like, so why are you crying out to me? Like, you have every right to just do it yourself.
Yes.
So let me lay it out for you since I'm confused. Like, stretch out your hand. You know, is it that kind of a tone? Like, I'm also seeing, like everyone is seeing on verse 13 and 14, it says Moses is saying to the people, like, the Lord, which he will work for you today, Lord will fight for you. He's like deferring to God, but God is like, hey, like, this action is in your hands. Like, why are you crying out to me? So is there an assumption that, like, God is saying, Moses, like, you already have the power and the capability. Why aren't you doing what I already do? Is that kind of a tone?
So there is this tension here, not only in real life, in our own life, right? Where God has given us the power, the Spirit. He expects us to have action. Okay? And also, God is sovereign. He does things. So we're always trying to figure out, God, do you want me to do something? Do you want me to just pray and wait? That's just our Christian life. We're always, we feel that. In this story, as I'm studying it, a little deeper this time, it has the same tension, not just the way I study it, but when I look at the commentators, when I look at biblical scholars, they notice this exact tension here. It's not the Sunday school straight, like, Moses believes God, God does this. There is something here, and there's something about Moses' personality, even in the beginning when God calls him, that he is very, very insecure. God works through Moses' personality. He did not feel confident, but God gave him every possible, gave him all the staff to show that there's power in the staff, not because the staff itself, but I am with you, right? God showed him all the 10 plagues. God gave him Aaron, his brother, to kind of help him out. God expected Moses to do something. This whole thing with the encounter at the burning bush, God expected Moses to do something. So that's how I'm understanding this text now. At this point, is that God is expecting Moses to do something, even though God is all in control and the power comes from God. Otherwise, he wouldn't give him the staff.
I might be injecting like too much to the scripture, but when you're speaking, like, the imagery that I get is people are like, out of their insecurity, they're like, oh, glory to God. You know, that was all God. Like, and then also, if something goes wrong, oh, that was God too. You know, like, they won't take credit for anything because it puts the responsibility almost on them. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just speaking out of, like, what I do when I'm insecure and I'm not sure, then I'm just going to be like, oh, no, this is totally on God. It's on God. And I have nothing to do with it.
Right.
Whether he saves you or not, like, I'm going to pray.
Right.
But it's like, I think that insecurity is almost bleeding out of like, you know what? Like, I have nothing to do with it. Like, God's going to save you. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Kind of this deflecting. And I could see how the lifestyle of people saying, oh, that was all God, and not taking any credit could also be an, you know, and could indicate some sort of insecurity of like, no, like what Moses, the kind of insecurity that Moses had, like, no,
yeah.
I'm just a conduit, a vessel, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, it's kind of interesting.
No, I think as we go down here, we'll let the scripture interpret itself. We'll let God's word kind of explain this to us. But there is something going on that's deeper. God is growing Moses. God is showing Moses what to do. And is taking Moses onto this journey, right? So we'll move forward and see what happens. So
well,
Moses,
actually, before we move on, like to Rev's point, like I was wondering the same thing. Like, has God told Moses he's able to do that? Like before, like why is he expecting him to know like straight up? Because I was reading like earlier passage part, and God actually tells Moses like they're actually gonna come chase you, but you're gonna go in front of the sea and just camp there. But he tells him that, but he doesn't tell him what's next. So it's kind of interesting to me. Like, told him like what's gonna happen, just not how to get out of it. So I don't know, maybe then
isn't that life? Isn't that our life? It's no different. No, think about it. Right? Yeah, God brings us to all of us to a certain situation. I mean, it would be much easier if God says, okay, do this, do this, do this. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll do it. Said it. It's the instructions are very clear. But obviously, we all are at a point in our life where we're by the sea, wherever your sea is, and we're like, okay, just can you just wipe out my problems? I trust you. Just wipe out my problem. My problems are the Egyptians. Okay, just wipe them out. Just stand still. Praise the Lord. Wipe them out. Right, yeah, Dan, that's good. That's good insight, yeah.
Also, I'm just thinking, like, yeah. Another interpretation of the theme, maybe, like, why crying out to me now? Not like,
why did you cry out to me earlier?
I told you, like, you know,
right, you know? Right, because Moses thought maybe God was going to just wipe him out, wipe the problems out.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like God is doing it.
There's, I don't know, it's just sounding like he didn't listen. It's like, hey, go to the sea, and they're going to come, like, ah, cool.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, hold on. Let's
why would you bring me to the sea?
Yeah.
We have no boat.
Yeah.
Right? If you knew that the Egyptians were going to chase us, we probably would have not camped out here. It's not a pen needle. I mean, you just go anywhere. You could have done this. You had at least 10 chances of making that turn. And you know what? Moses been to Midian, right?
Yeah, he knows the way.
He knows the way. And, oh, by the way, here's another curve.
And you don't
here's
know
another curve. Where are they going? To the promised land. Oh, by the way, there's a better way.
Like,
to go through
the
promise.
Yeah.
Oh, take the coast PCH. Take the scenic route. Take the PCH. That's way shorter than 4 years. Guaranteed. Even with traveling. That's true. I don't know if you guys have known. They could have done this. Or they could have done this. Or they could have done this. There's many, many ways. The last thing you would do is go here. Right. And so Moses had a lot of time to ponder. I don't think Moses was completely unaware. It wasn't like, oh, I'm by the sea. God was talking to Moses. Moses was a friend of God. Okay, they were talking. So when he camps here, he waits until the last minute, and okay, God, why? And then Lord says, why are you crying out to me? Okay, so Moses obeys. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind. All night. And I don't know all night what that time frame is, and the scholars say it's around for the complete Exodus, right? into the sea and out of the sea, it took about 4 hours. It's probably around 2 to 6 a.m. 2 to 6 a.m. That's when this was happening, right? And it made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Usually focus on the parting of the Red Sea, but we don't think about the dry land. Once the sea's parted, can you walk through the sea when it's muddy with kids and some carriages? I don't know if you guys pushed carriages through the mud before. I mean, even those wagons, right, that we buy from Costco, it's hard to push it through grass. Imagine going through the sea. I mean, it was dry. That thing was dry for them to just walk through, right? That's why I said notice how the ground was so dry that even the kids, right, were able to walk through it. And eventually the Egyptians, with his horse and chariot, you know, you never ride into, like, just they said, well, it's safe. It's safe enough to catch them. They would take their whole army into it, thinking it's just like dry ground, perfect place to race in. So God not only parts the Red Sea, but kind of super air dry. You know, when the ground is wet and they're wet, isn't those what do you call those? It's not vacuum. Wet vac? It's not wet vac. It's one of those things that, you know, you've seen warehouses, they just try to dry up the ground.
It's a blower.
It's a blower of some sort. But this is like a spiritual, super heavenly blower. It blew the sea ground dry, where you can just walk through so easily. It's crazy, right? It's so much more scenic and so much better than just wiping the Pharaoh, the Egyptians out. So this event, God has a purpose. This is the reason why God didn't wipe them out. This event reminds the Israelites, should have reminded the Israelites of God's repeated theme of redemption in the form of dry land out of chaotic waters. Remember we studied the first miracle in Genesis where God created land, right, out of chaotic waters. You see, I have the verses here. We won't read them, but and then for Noah, during the time of Noah, when, you know, the flood represented kind of creation, God wiping everything out. But when the water receded, land appeared, it's kind of creation coming back again. God is always trying to show, like, out of the waters, because to the Israelites, by the way, they're not water sports people. They don't really see the ocean as fun. Not like us Americans. I don't either. Pastor Alex loves the water. He thinks that's a blessing, right? So, but for the Israelites, water has always been danger for them. It's always been danger in their history, in the way. So they're not seafaring people, okay? They try to stay out the water, which is why would the Israelites camp right by the water, right? God has a purpose, because this is to remind them, I'm going to create land out of the water to remind you. This is my salvation for you. Always out of the chaotic waters, I bring salvation to you. I bring redemption. I rescue. This is a stark reminder of how God rescued his children, the Israelites. Before I go on, what's your thoughts on this? I think it's fascinating, it's interesting. Not the stories that we learn since we were kids, but I'm still fascinated by this as I study it.
Is like we always say, like, you know, when we get stuck, like, God will provide a way. You know, It's like literally, you know,
literally show you the way.
Show you the way for them. Yeah. That's cool. And then the drive around is a fun recall.
Fun recall to that, yeah.
It's just cool. But yeah, like I didn't think about the ground being muddy, you know, or the waters.
It's hard to walk. You won't be able to get the entire nation,
stuff.
Right?
It's like heavy stuff with all their stuff, right?
Right, yeah. All the gold and silver they took from the Israelites.
Yeah.
I mean, from the Egyptians.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah. It had to be dry ground.
They provided the way, but also, like, the big way. They're like the way that was just right.
And it was an obvious way. Right? Once it opened up, it was like, that's why it says move forward. There's no other way. This is the only way that I, for you, it's the only way, right?
I think that it's interesting how specific and maybe like visceral like all of this is, that God is very big into the experience of him. Right, and the experience of his presence, the experience of his power. I wasn't even that young when I saw Prince of Egypt, the Disney version, right?
Yes.
But I don't think, you know, even when you watch that and you see the walls and you see like sea life.
Oh yeah,
because
whale
you can
on the side.
It's almost like being in an aquarium.
I don't
know
if there's a whale up there.
I don't know that, right, but it's like being in an aquarium and you actually see sea life,
yes,
like as you're walking through. You know, I just, you know, I remember watching that and being like, wow, that would be pretty amazing to experience. I think that's something that we don't think about often today, that God is, you know, God is, if we say he's so powerful, I believe he wants us to experience his power and his presence in a real way often, you know. So I think there's that element of it that kind of strikes me. It's like very specific, you know, that the water is being a wall to them on their right and left.
Yeah.
And the movie captured that to me.
Yeah, as I'm studying this, in my mind, I don't think I'll see the Red Sea part anytime soon. But that does, in my, you know, I was thinking like, but that doesn't mean that there won't be miracles. There will be miracles that we will still experience him. And it's just not the miracle that we think. Or we prefer, but certainly there is, this actually gave me more confidence that there will be miracles, right? It's like the Moses thinking one miracle, the miracle he was expecting God to do, but God did something else. But it's a miracle nonetheless. So I believe when we study incredible story. It's not supposed to be a fairy tale. It could seem like that if we remove it so much, but it could be, it can happen in our life because God wants us to experience him in a miraculous way. Because imagine when the kids see that, when they see this kind of miracle, and not all of them, but some of them, their faith grows when they see this. I mean, there's life transformation when you see this kind of stuff.
I've always thought maps are a waste of paper and
piece of paper,
but I think just today.
Uh-huh.
I see the purpose of the map today, like for me, from my own perspective, which is, you said, yeah, there could have been some visual, a visual learner. So you said, oh, yeah, there could have been 10 different ways where, you know, they didn't have to be near the sea, right? Like they could have took the PCH. Right?
There's so many ways, yes.
So it just gave me a new perspective on yeah, you know, God, you know, why didn't God give us the way, right? You know, I never thought about that, right? But, you know, just seeing the map, how you're saying there were so many chances where Moses could have been in a better spot, right? Easier spot, but, or, you know, God chose. And that I think that reveals something about God and how he, you know, wants us to live our life. And it's not just, oh, I'm just going to give it to you.
Right. And, you know, along the way, I'm thinking, God's talking to Moses. And Moses is talking to God because Moses is very scared that he ever done this before. So he's taking instructions from God. God's telling him. So that's why God's like, you shouldn't be surprised when I tell you to part the Red Sea here. Right? I believe there's communication all the way through. He's leading you to here.
Yeah, so Exodus 13:17. Can I read it real quick?
Yeah.
This is from a previous chapter. But it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, let the people change their minds when they see war and return to them. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt for battle. So, you know, there's someone once said, you can take the people out of Egypt, but you gotta also get Egypt out of the people. Like, because it's so close. I mean, Egypt to the promised land, it's like going from freedom to like luxury, right? But God's like, well, when something bad happens, you're just gonna run back to Egypt instead of running to Egypt. So, like, he led them through all this wilderness and wartime to let them know, hey, I need you to know that, like, you can depend on me through war. Like, you need to look to me friends of war when friends are bad and trust that I'm going to be the one to succeed. So the whole journey to me is like, I have a, you know, my own personal testimony of me wanting to go back to my Egypt. And that was, and God just like had to block that. I'm like, why? It's so easy. Can I just go back to what I know and what I know I can do with my hands and build? Like, it was a very like practical solution for me. And God's like, no, that's your Egypt. I don't want you to go back there. And so, like, this whole journey to me, it just speaks personally because I just remember, yeah, God's just, his goal isn't to get me to Canaan. His goal is for me to get into trust. So I see that, and I'm really appreciative of this story because it makes sense of what God's doing in my life.
That's good. And by the way, the Philistines, the way of the Philistines is right here.
It's a PCH.
because that's where they live. These are, the Philistines are the seafaring people, right? They know how to fight battles in the sea. And that's how they, you know, that's how they attacked the Israelites later on up in Egypt right here. That was attacked in the sea.
Yeah. And it's almost as if they needed to see Egypt being completely, like, dominated or, you know, like, defeated. You know, like, you know what? Like, I'm stronger than Egypt, so please don't go back to Egypt. Like, you saw with your own eyes that I have more, you know, obviously I'm greater than them. So, yeah, because they could have gone through any other war, right, with the Philistines, or, and they had many other wars. But
they will have wars after this, right?
Yeah, later, but
well, not like, this time, not the first round.
Yeah, they needed to see their past being just completely shut out, shut down.
And here's how it ends, right? In Exodus 14, to what you're saying, is Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people fear the Lord and they believe in the Lord and his servant Moses. Right? All of a sudden, once they see God's power, they trust in the Lord, submitted to Yahweh. So it goes back to I was asking earlier, I was saying earlier, as sometimes we have to move. Not all the time, but I think in this text, I think sometimes it reminds us, sometimes we must move in faith, and we are rewarded with more faith and more of God. That's what happened to the Israelites with Moses. God was expecting him to move. Don't stay here. Don't cry out to me. Move. I put you in a position. I'm going to do something. But you got to move. And sometimes you don't want to. I don't want to. But it's clear. We have to move in faith, and you are rewarded with more faith because they believe in God. And more of God, of course. And in James chapter 2, 21 to 22, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? You know, every time when we see this verse, it's always doing moral thing, right? Faith, you do works, you do good works. But good works, it's not only talking about good works, it's talking about doing what God has called you to do, right? And what God calls you to do is always a good work, of course, but it's not a morality thing. It's faith moving forward with what God tells you to do, and the faith was made perfect. And the word perfect, and I always use this. I love this word. Perfect is teleos. Teleos is the word where we get the word telescope. When I see the word perfect in the New Testament, and this may do this for you, I always think of RR, pirates. Because who uses a telescope? It's RR, pirates, right? You know, they get their telescope. And they're like, I see a treasure somewhere, something shiny there. And they would do their thing. And this perfect is the word teleos, where it means it's coming into clarity. It's coming into fruition. You kind of see the work, but then this faith is made clear. It's made clear. When you move forward, it's made clear. So that's what perfect means. That it's that telescope, and clear. And then that's why the people of God, you know, when they saw this, when they moved forward, their faith, their belief in Yahweh was made clear. And the journey moves on. Of course, they go through different things, more trials and more battles, but this is kind of the beginning. It's made clear because their faith was rewarded. More faith in God. Stirring up more faith. And that's what we're all, this is what we're all striving for. We want to see more of God. Our faith wants to be more clear. We want to see God more clearly. Sometimes we need to move forward. So maybe this is sometimes, not all the time, gotta listen to the Lord. But today's lesson, that's the word from God. Maybe for some of you, is I need to move forward. You'll be rewarded with more faith and more of God.
I think God is just so amazing that from this, you can actually experience why people will go, oh, I have been reading the Bible for all these years. Every time I read it, something is different. And because God didn't tell us to fast reading the Bible, and every word actually can lead us in different stage and for us to understand and differently, and depends on our spiritual body. And that makes how our God is just so alive,
yeah,
compared to other religions that people thought that their God is better. And here for other people will go, oh yeah, just make this happen and then my trouble disappears. But God is not like telling us, you believe me, you will be trouble free. But instead God wants us to go. It's just like a parent, you will not do everything for the kid. You want the kids to grow, help them learn, and do all the mistakes. And that's how they can be dependent and become adults.
That's why it's a living word, right? Depending on where we're at, this, you know, you read it this year, you read it next year, this God is speaking to you differently. Anyone else? Do you have any comments, any thoughts?
I see God constantly, not just through today's lesson, but in my own lesson, in my own personal journey, that He wants, He pulls us to a point out of our own comfort, right? And it's a lot of work, right? To have this faith, right? To, you know, you said, oh, we are rewarded with faith, right? More faith in God. I feel like God is saying, like, this faith is so valuable, like so precious and valuable that, yes, it is worth going through the grind, right? Because I read this, I feel like, man, that's hard. Being a Christian is hard, right? But I feel like God is saying, no, this, yeah, it's hard, and you have to go through the grind, you have to, you know, not go through PCH, right? Go through the hardest way, not the easiest way, actually, right? But it's worth it. That's how I kind of, that's my takeaway for today is, because I'm thinking, man, it's hard, it's so hard, right? It's so hard. And then I experience it in my own life where, man, you know, the faith is so hard, right? I have to work through it, spend time with God, but then at the end of the day, I think I can say that, yeah, there, that will reward you with more faith, right? But I feel like God is like telling me, at least, that this faith is so valuable. It is worth going through the grind, right? Because it, like, you know, the sacrificing the son, right? Yeah. Altar, right?
Yeah.
That was hard, right? That was difficult for Abraham, right? It's just, I feel like that's, it's just a continual, a lot of grinding and working. But I feel like God is telling us, yes, it's a lot of work. It's hard, but so valuable.
Yeah,
it's worth it.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. You know, if I may just kind of reward that if I can. But yeah, life is hard, right? That's, I think we can all attest to that. And faith is precious, And faith is the only thing in our, in the believer's life, right? Faith is the only thing that is, that can create that breakthrough in this hard life, right? It, by faith, we cannot please God, right? By faith, it is the only way we can please God is through faith, right? By faith, you know, in Hebrews, everything is by faith. Life is a grind. But it's by faith that we can have breakthroughs, not to work our way up to God's kingdom. You know what I mean? So we just want to kind of reverse that a little bit, right? It's hard life, yes, but by faith alone that we can have breakthroughs. God does. But we need to move forward at times when God, when we hear that. Does that kind of good? Right. So miracles can't happen. The whole point is we're looking at this, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe 1 minute. And you guys, as we're going through these miracles, do you guys see, you guys, is it helping that you think that miracles can still happen? Or it's like, you know. Not gonna happen, it can't happen because we started. I don't know if you guys remember, like, what's a miracle? Miracle is something that most likely won't happen in my life. That was one person's definition, right? But I hope that as we're moving through, that we're seeing that there's, God is still doing miracles. There's a faith factor involved, the supernatural God that we're walking in. That breakthroughs can happen. And that's what gives us hope to keep going. Right. Going. We have more. but for those of you guys, I want to remind you on the website, you can always give feedback anonymously. And you can write here. And I do mean it when you say, when I say, go ahead and write. It's like, I really don't think miracles exist today. This is not helping. It's okay, right? We're here to grow. We're here to understand God, not trying to kind of fit into a dead box or wall. Because this is a life with the Spirit that's alive, ever changing, and growing. It's not a set of rules, not a you know, syllabus that we're following the living God. So the point here is not to have the right answer. The point is to encounter them. So feel free to give me a feedback, and then we can discuss it. So if you don't want to share here, I provide it here. It's anonymous. I really can't see. Johnny, go ahead. I know you want to say something, so
go ahead. Right here. Okay. All
right. Okay. Mr. Daniel, can you pray for us? And thank you.
Lord God, thank you for this morning, for gathering us here, allowing us to learn a little more in depth about another miracle of your arm. I pray that this lesson would encourage us to trust in you, to trust that you still perform miracles in our lives. We don't see it or we don't recognize it. But I pray that we would be more sensitive to your spirit, to just the way that you're moving in our lives, recognize when you're working and how you're working in our lives. And we've seen that you provide a literal way forward for your people. So I pray that you would do the same for us as well. When, you know, if any of us are, if we think we're stuck between a rock and a hard place or between a sea and an army, I pray that we would look to you and move forward in confidence. We should just grow our faith through our faith and through our response to faith. It's with your name we glorified it and lift it high in each of our lives and all that we're doing and all that we're struggling through or working through or all the ways that we're experiencing. So, thank you for being God, for being faithful to us, for being faithful to us. And I just thank you for it.
Thank you.